We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let's talk baseball and get a history lesson. Let's go, Eli. Hour three of four. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock. Luke Stuckmeyer was here, had a good time talking with Luke about all sorts of stuff. I'm excited that our next guest made a return visit. We had so much fun with Shakia Taylor the first time that she was here. We had to do a follow-up, especially since she was doing such a cool event. You can follow her on Twitter at CurlyFro. I know that the Cleveland game is on. And you're trying, I see you, and that you're trying to pay attention to it, because I know you care.
No, actually, I'm good.
Wait, we got to move your mic like a little bit. There we go.
I'm good. It just hit me in the mouth, though. I'm good. I recently started watching LeBron without disdain, so.
Okay. But
it's interesting.
But there's some, but you're a Cleveland fan.
I am not a Cavs fan.
I feel like I've seen you in a Cavs.
I do have a LeBron rookie jersey.
Okay.
But I collect jerseys.
Ah, okay. But I kind of put it together, the Cleveland thing and seeing you.
No. Remember I told you, what did my dad say? You can only like one Cleveland team because the rest were bad.
That's right. You're right.
Chose the baseball team.
Are you regretting that?
No. Not yet. I mean, I'm 35, so I feel like I got to stick with it. I got to stick that one out. I watched the game last night. Did you watch?
I did.
San Juan?
I was working most of it, and then when I got home, I loved it because it just, I don't know, it felt good.
Yeah.
Like that game kind of felt good. Seeing Francisco Lindor go back to Puerto Rico and, of course, hit a two-run homer and the ovation that he got from everyone there.
It sounded like thunder, right?
It did.
I love that. I really thought, outside of the sporting aspect of it, that it just meant a lot for the island, you know? Like they've been going through so much.
Even today.
Still going through so much that it was a moment of joy for them to see a native son come home, knock one out the park. I mean, I thought it was great. It gave me goosebumps, but I also am a massive Frankie fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you should be. Is that what your shirt is all about today? Frankie, baby. Yeah, okay. I see you. I went to Puerto Rico a couple years ago, and that stadium, it was Christmas. We went during Christmas. So the stadium was closed. Totally snuck in.
Did you? It's kind of small, don't you think?
Yeah, it's very small. It's very homey. And it's like in a neighborhood. Like it just kind of pops up. But Hiram Bithorn, you know, the first Puerto Rican player in the majors, and he played for both the Cubs and the White Sox. So, and I, you know, grew up playing baseball. I was a catcher, and they have the La Tierra de los Receptadores, which is land of the catchers, because a bunch of great catchers come from Puerto Rico. And there's this beautiful mural. As you walk in and you like go through the history of it, it's amazing. Like it's one of those things. I've been talking to my friends who are either Puerto Rican or from Puerto Rico. And I've been asking them, look, is it disrespectful to go right now? Like, is it disrespectful to go on a vacation to Puerto Rico? And they're saying, no, go and spend money. Please,
see, I wish
please,
someone
please.
Had told me that. That's why I didn't go to the game. I had the PTO. I was going to go, and I asked my Facebook friends, some of whom are Puerto Rican, and there was like a mixed response, you know? And so I just donated my airfare instead.
Because that's the type of person you are.
Yeah.
Which is good. But you should go. Like, just because you love baseball so much and that island loves baseball, mm-hmm. I really want you to go. And what I kept thinking is, how can they not do this again and put the Cubs down there with Javi?
That is kind of what I was thinking at first. I was like, you know, I feel like a Javi game would be a big deal too. And not to take away from other Puerto Rican players right now, because, you know, there are many of them. But right now, Frankie and Javi are it. Mm-hmm. They are the hotness right now. Young and fun and, you know, they're having a good time. You know, what is it Bryce Harper tried to get going? Make baseball fun again? Those guys are doing it. They're a lot of fun to watch. Javi is literal magic, like actual magic. I have no idea how he does many of the things he does.
He's my favorite player to watch right now in Chicago. I am an unabashed Javi Baez fan. I don't care. I'm all for it. I'm for the bat flips. I'm for the crazy tags, the pop-up slides, all of the cool stuff he does.
Yeah.
And last night, in a night where you're like, there's no way any balls are getting out of here. You know, he hits one to the scoreboard. And before that, he was trying to go opposite field, which made me feel even better about Javi as a player, because I'm like, he's learning. And he's learning that if he's willing to go the opposite field, then he's going to start getting pitches that he can pull.
Yeah.
And then he can hit them, you know, 700 feet.
The one thing Javier Baez does not lack is confidence. He believes in himself every at bat. Like, you can tell by the way he swings that he is every time like, I'm going to knock this out. Something is going to happen. And you can kind of appreciate that. I mean, props to a guy who got an MLB tattoo before he even made the league.
It's a terrible tattoo, too. Like, if you see it up close, you're like, ooh, someone needs to redo that. But he always felt like he was going to be here, and look at him.
Yeah.
He is here now.
Yeah, he is. And he is very here.
It's cool. So I think that I don't want to say that we're the ones who came up with it, but we're as you continue to write and your writing career goes on, we've described you as a baseball historian on the show. And I mm-hmm. think that that's apt, especially after what you did this past weekend. I thought it was really incredible. I didn't make it over there. I was stuck between two events last weekend, but I know the crew went out there. Herbie was out there. Tony Gill mm-hmm. went out there. Dean Davis showed mm-hmm. up as well. For people who don't know, what was the event that you had at Nisei Lounge this past weekend?
We called it Jackie Robinson Day Observed, simply because it was on Saturday, the 14th, and not the 15th. It was our second year doing it. I am still overwhelmed by the number of people who showed up. Nisei was packed. We had to open the windows because it was hot and it kind of got clubby. Like, people were playing music on the touch tunes and dancing together, and there was a sing-along.
I heard that Carl Edwards Jr. showed up.
He did. He did, which was so cool. Someone sent him the flyer that my friend Alexa made, and he just walked in a hoodie, real chill, no security. You know, like, he hung out for a little bit. He didn't want to do, like, the photo thing. And because he wasn't paid to be there. He was just hanging out. And people were very excited to even breathe the same air as him, which was very cool. A few people were a little extra about his presence, but it was great. I raffled off some Sox jerseys this year and an Ernie Banks jersey. And a Cubs varsity jacket and a $150 gift card for dinner. It was great. We raised about $1,300 in 3 hours in just tips.
You were tending bar?
Yes. I was behind the bar in a Dodgers jersey and Jordans. And people are like, you're going to destroy your shoes. And if you step on my feet, if you spill on my feet, going to be a problem. But it went really well. There were some old school cats in there too. There was a gentleman, he had a 1988 Notre Dame championship ring on, and I'm like, you weren't at Notre Dame in 88, you know, but someone in his family had gone there, and so he had a ring. There were a couple writers who came to, like, support of course, all of my friends, people I've never met, people saying to me, I follow you on Twitter. You don't know me, but I came to support. And I thought that was dope that we could all come together for a couple of hours. I was worried the rain would keep people home, mm-hmm. but it absolutely did not. But we came out for a few hours, raised some money for a good cause. Folks were able to meet new people, meet other baseball fans.
You were able to talk baseball with people.
I was. And it's funny because I ended up in a conversation about Greg Maddux. And I kept rolling my eyes because I'm a Cleveland fan. And they're like, there is no better pitcher in our lifetime. And I'm like, I'm not having this conversation with you. But I mean, it's not that I disagree. It's just I was salty.
Oh, there's a little salt in your game.
I'm very honest when I'm salty, you know, I'll admit that. Like when Cleveland was playing the Angels earlier this season and Ohtani kind of got with him on Kluber. And people are like, he's amazing. I'm like, it wasn't even all that. It wasn't all that. Like, I don't know why y'all keep talking. It ain't even all that. I mean, it was all that, but
I mean,
I was salty.
it really has been every bit of all that so far, except for the blister.
I later tweeted, I'm like, he's dope when he's not playing my team.
That's, I mean, so far watching him, I've been amazed because in spring training, mm-hmm. it looked bad. Like it looked like, whoa, maybe they made a huge mistake. And who knows? Maybe it'll turn out to have been a huge mistake. But it seemed like as soon as the light clicked on, that the games counted, mm-hmm. he was out there giving it to you.
A thing that I've wondered with him, though, and, you know, feel free to answer this question if you have an answer, is how exactly will they use him, right? Because he's playing in the AL. He doesn't have to hit. So I think they could get creative. He could DH. He could pitch. He could pitch and stay in the lineup. Like, there's so many ways that you could use him, but you have to kind of figure out what his strengths are, you know, his sleep schedule, if you will. Like, he may get a little tired. Like, how do you play him?
Well, so far has it been that he pitches every seven days.
Right.
So they do that. They're at least trying to kind of, because the schedule is different in Japan. You're trying to wean him into mm-hmm. the major league lifestyle and schedule. And it's fun to see, because I remember, you remember it'd be kind of a novelty. Remember Brooks Kieschnick, you know, back, well, he used to pitch and he can hit. And Micah Owings, you know, people like that would pop up. Aaron Harang,
right.
Pitchers who could hit.
Pitchers who rake.
Right, pitchers who rake.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it's a little bit more than that. This isn't just a pitcher who can hit.
Yeah.
That, like, even with the Cubs, in a squeeze situation, you can pull John Lester off the bench and have him squeeze bunt for you. This is different. This is a middle of the lineup guy.
Yeah.
that you're talking about.
It's a power hitter right here.
Yeah.
he's hitting for yard most times.
Yeah. And you see him with a triple, you're just going, what is going on? And he has done the work, that's for sure. All right, we need to take a break because I want to make sure that we have time to talk about your residency that you're doing right now for FanGraphs, which is very cool. And the stories that you've written for FanGraphs, I want to kind of go through them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, look, the Doby stuff is really important, and I want to talk about
that. But you want to talk about the White Sox cap.
As a mm-hmm. White Sox fan, I do want to talk about your fine piece of writing about the importance – the cultural importance of a White Sox guy. Is that, Herbie, is that game over? Are they still playing?
Yeah, big game. James has two outs in the bottom of 14th.
This is
Marcus Semien just hit a single.
This is just like the game I was talking about with McNeil and Parkins earlier. Because if I were doing a show, if the White Sox were still in the score, I would have no show tonight. It's already over. Like, there would be no reason for me. Mitch would have sent me home at this point. Ridiculous. Always getaway day in Oakland. Always. More with Shakia Taylor after a quick timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
I hear that.
Shakia Taylor is in the building. You can follow her on Twitter at CurlyFro. You are doing a residency for FanGraphs?
I am. In maybe late February, early March. They asked me if I would do this new thing they were starting called a writer's residency, where I would be writing one article minimum per week. And I'll also be doing Fangraphs audio with Carson. So, and then I also recorded the Harbaugh Times audio as well. So it's like a whole month of me on Fangraphs, just kind of everywhere.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been very, very cool. I'm really surprised at the reception.
The reception's been great because the work has been great. What have you outlined all the things that you wanted to write about? Is there like a collection of things you like, okay, before this month is over, I want to touch on this, 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 and this?
I never have any idea. It's funny. So the first three pieces have actually been published out of order. I wrote the Dobie piece first, but it was more fitting for this week. I wrote last week's piece third, but it was more fitting last week. And the first piece I wrote second. And they just kind of were like, do you mind if we publish these in this order and not the way that you actually wrote them? And it's so funny because each week, each piece has been right on time. And that wasn't planned at all. You know, my fundraising piece came out, and then the next day or maybe 2 days later, MLB released a statement that that the numbers in Little Leagues were increasing and that it absolutely has an effect on the diversity of the league itself. And I was like, oh yeah, listen to women. Pretty sure I told y'all this already. And then the next week I wrote about the Sox cap and people went nuts. I mean, I was so surprised because that piece is not a Fangraphs piece. I'm talking about Chance and Freddie Gibbs and NWA and Chuck D and Common on Fangraphs. People aren't used to that. And I expected people to be like, hip hop, boo, boo, whatever. But instead they were like, this is great. Never expected to see something like this here. I got so many people telling me how much they love their Sox caps.
I do. I have a collection of Sox caps.
Are they all the black and white one?
No. No. It's funny. I kind of went through this phase of when I was younger, I wore caps all the time. And usually I wore like I love like cool minor league caps. Mm-hmm. And then when I started being out and about more professionally, I kind of stopped wearing caps, and I have gotten back into wearing caps over the last 3 or 4 years. So I think I have like 7 different White Sox caps from different eras. I have the Chance blue one, which is like the hardest one to get.
Is that the baby blue, like the soft blue?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have that. So that one's really difficult to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down to Birmingham last year to go watch some of the prospects. And it's now become like my favorite White Sox cap.
I think I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah, it's the Sox Hitman, but it says Beham.
Yes, I saw that.
On the front. And it's
that's
red.
A very cool hat.
And I dig that. I dig that cap. So you writing about the black and white White Sox cap and hip hop culture embracing it and then making it a more popular item is fascinating. I wanna get into this after we do a scoreboard update. Julie DeCaro has got that right now.
To walk two, give up two hits, and the winning run. In the NBA playoffs, Cleveland leading Indiana now 95-92 with 36 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma trailing Utah 57-48. In the NHL postseason, Pittsburgh beating Philly 5-0 in the third period. Tampa up on New Jersey 2-1 after the second. This scoreboard update was brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Learn how to get out of your timeshare with help from Timeshare Exit Team. Book by April 30th and save $500 off your exit. Go to timeshareexitteam.com and enter promo code TRAFFIC, timeshareexitteam.com. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. Next game on The Score is tomorrow when the Cubs take on the Cardinals at 12:45. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm in the middle of a conversation with Shakia Taylor, a.k.a. Shake Van Pelt, at Curly Fro. You can follow her on Twitter. A little bit dope.
A little bit of dope.
Dope on Instagram.
Yep.
If you want to check out some of the pictures. So what made you decide that you wanted to write the White Sox cap and hip hop culture piece for FanGraphs?
It's different, and it also is a little bit of me, not in the Sox fan aspect of it, but in that I love hip hop and it is a part of my life, you know? And when I wrote in the franchise player draft earlier this year, I drafted Corey Kluber, and I said that Corey Kluber was understated, like the hook of a Slum Village song. And I'm like, I could kind of riff off that. Like, you know, I alluded to my love of hip hop by mentioning Slum Village. And if you don't know Slum Village, you don't know Slum Village, you know? And most of my guy friends in Chicago are Sox fans. And in the 17 years I've been here, that hat everywhere.
It's omnipresent.
Everywhere. I mean, there are people who own that hat who don't care about baseball. That cap is also very, I'm from the South Side, you know? And I like that. I dig people who love where they're from. People from Ohio are like that too, but not quite in the same way Southsiders are. I don't think anyone is. And I dug that. And I thought that it would be interesting for other people to have a connecting piece. Because ultimately, one of the things that I think will help people understand sort of some of the younger players coming into the league, players of color, is that hip hop is their thing. They use it for their at-bat music. You know, you hear it when they're warming up. BP, that's a constant.
You're even seeing a lot of white players now using it as their walk-up music and like our era of hip hop as their walk-up music.
And I think it's dope to use it as a connecting piece. And again, a lot of people, you know, Jay-Z and the Yankee cap, but before that, it was the Sox cap. I actually had someone tweet me and tell me that he lives in New York and he sees about as many Sox caps as he does Yankees and Mets. And I was like, that's impressive. If you see one, send me a picture. Because I would love that. I would love it if people sent me photos of their Sox caps in other cities. Just so I could kind of see, like, how widespread this is. Because I got a lot of responses from people. You know, I travel, I wear my Sox cap because people talk to me. They walk up to me and go, oh, are you from Chicago? There's a lot of cool stories behind those caps. And you have a lot of legendary rappers, you know, who wore one. And sure, some of them wore it because it was neutral. But
right,
because
you're and I just wanted to whiteboard this for people.
Yeah.
Back in when you had the big wars between the Bloods and the Crips, red and blue out in L.A., if you wore it in the wrong neighborhood, you could get shot. And the black and white of the White Sox cap was a neutral piece of gear to wear.
And what I like, though, is the Sox embraced that fact. They embraced that they had a new set of Sox cap wearer coming in. They embraced the changing of the fan demographic, and they continue to do so, partnering with Chance, Kendrick Lamar wearing a Sox cap on the cover of Rolling Stone. I don't know, I just thought it was very cool, a thing that people might be interested in, and the reception was great. It made one of those top 10 stories to read this week on Chicago Mag, which is super cool and super unexpected.
And it was right on time again because
Meghan Markle,
because Meghan Markle is walking around town, the soon to be Duchess of Duchesses, because I don't know what she's going to be the Duchess of, wearing a White Sox cap. And apparently it wasn't just at O'Hare. Apparently she's been seen elsewhere wearing the White Sox cap.
Because honestly, and no disrespect to my Cubs fan friends, I love y'all, but what's more Chicago than a Sox cap? Not pizza, not hot dogs, that cap. And I say that as a completely neutral, you know, I don't have any rooting interest at all. That cap is just, it's timeless.
I remember, and we started this last year, we were joking around, we still here movement. Mm-hmm. And it came out of the day after the Cubs won the World Series. Being in Hyde Park, which you would think is like totally pro Sox, but it's kind of Cubsy. It's very Cubsy in Hyde Park.
It's becoming Wicker Park light over there.
That's, you've nailed it. That's exactly what's going on. I mean, we already got the Silver Room block party.
You got Nakira, right?
Yeah. It's kind of become the same thing. And I remembered that day I took the Metra in. Mm-hmm. And I took the Metra in, you know, from University of Chicago, not too far from where I live. And I remember my man, Mr. Corey, who's one of the train conductors, was wearing his Sox cap. And I started looking around. This is the day after the Cubs won. It was like White Sox fans had gone into hiding. Like, we had gone into hiding, and we were like, you guys go do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, no disrespect.
Yeah.
Bleep Cleveland. And I didn't want Cleveland to win the World Series. So I was like, my good friends up north, have at it.
You know,
go win your World Series. Don't let the Indians win the World Series. And it was almost like White Sox fans felt comfortable coming out of the woodwork again. It was like, we've been hiding for so long. And then the Cubs won the World Series. The next day, it was like, yeah, I'm going to put my White Sox cap on.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk around the South Side with my cap on.
You know a lot more people who are more mature than I do, because my Facebook feed
petty
during the World Series was full of Sox fans who were like, I ain't rooting for y'all. I don't care if y'all win. I'm not rooting for y'all. And the thing is, what's so funny to me is a lot of that was coming from people who identify as Sox fans, but they aren't baseball fans. And we don't even have to get into that, like the difference there, because I'm not the arbiter of fandom, but there is a small difference there. But I will say this, Nisei Lounge, they have multiple bartenders who are Sox fans. Like, they wear their caps to work. They watch the games at the bar. And so there definitely is a we're still here. But I like the people who never went anywhere in the first place.
Agreed. But there is a rebellious, like, and that's what I think you touched on in the piece, mm-hmm. that hip hop kind of made it a rebellious sign, symbol. Yeah. But there is some rebellion in even wearing a Sox cap in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, especially right now.
Right.
Yeah.
We know how bad things are for the White Sox and how great things have been for the Cubs, that there's this kind of this head nod that happens between people wearing Sox caps like, yeah, we quiet now. But at some point,
we're going to be talking again. When Debo leave, I'm going to be talking again.
So, I mean, I feel that. And I feel that what you're talking about, like seeing people out and you know, like they get it. Like most people, if you see someone wearing a White Sox cap around, like they get it.
Yeah.
We're the small, little teeny tiny fan base compared to this behemoth that is right down the street from us.
Right, David and Goliath. You'll love this then. So last weekend, I challenged all of my friends who were helping me bartend to wear the jersey of a black player. And I was like, you can't wear Jackie because I'm wearing Jackie, but I need your jersey to be better than mine. It's always a fun challenge with them. My friend Justin gets a custom Lance Johnson one dog.
Come on now.
Sox jersey. I kid you not. He even wore the gold chain with the J initial on it. And he wore the black on black new era Sox cap. People were walking up to him like, yo, are you really wearing this jersey up north? And he's like, yeah, I'm a Sox fan up north, out south, out west. And I'm cracking up laughing. And I'm like, I can't even say nothing because that's dope. Like,
it is dope.
I would have never thought that he would go and make a one dog jersey. So if you see him, you'll know it's him because I haven't seen anyone else in that.
That's cool. See, this is why I like having you on the show, because it's way different from discussions that we have a lot. And I enjoy talking about the cultural aspect of baseball and in fandom.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's cool to be a Cub fan. And I applaud all my friends who are Cubs fans that have kind of stuck with it. I also applaud the ones that understood my point of view.
Yeah.
That were like, yo, we know who you cheer for.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you're okay with us doing what we got to do. Because I remember someone saying, oh, well, come on, Holmes, come join the Cubs. I'm like, I mean, I'm happy that y'all are partying.
No, I respect that. Don't get on the bandwagon.
I'm going to be over here.
Over here. Watching y'all.
Watching your party.
Minding my business.
Being mad.
Salty.
Like being real salty about it's not my team partying. But I'm happy for you.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out how they can actually get better. And maybe they're on the road to doing that. Although today was so Sox in Oakland. Like, it couldn't be more Sox in Oakland. So it's every – that ballpark – like, Hawk Harrelson used to get mad about the White Sox playing in the Metrodome.
What didn't he get mad about?
And that's an excellent point by you. But he the thing about Oakland is how big the foul area is. Mm-hmm. Where you hit a ball that's clearly going into the stands foul, it'll hang up in Oakland. You're out in Oakland. You know, that's seven rows up at Wrigley. Or that's seven rows up in Cleveland. You're out in Oakland.
Like that ballpark is vastly different from AT&T Park. Like, vastly different. And I don't mean just in, like, the money spent on it either. I mean, like, the entire look, the setup, where the ball goes. That's a different ballpark. I didn't know that the Sox had such an interesting Oakland story until you told me tonight.
Uh-huh. It's a lot. It's a lot. Okay, more with Shay. Can you stick around for one more segment? Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like I've already kept you too long.
No, it's fine. I'm fine.
You can check out what Shay is doing. She is in a residency for the month of April on FanGraphs. Her work is fantastic. You can follow her on Twitter at CurlyFro. I need to take a break because I want to talk to you about the Larry Doby piece because I think it's really important. And again, right on time, considering that it's like Jackie Robinson week, mm-hmm. and we need to talk about the other trailblazer in baseball. We'll do that next here on The Score. I got a few more minutes with Shakia Taylor. Shake Van Pelt, follow her on Twitter at CurlyFro. That's where you can find her. Are people sending us pictures of Sox caps now?
So far, we got a picture of someone's adorable little child wearing a Sox cap. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see them all. Actually, why don't you put where you are? I want to see where you are, too, right? Like, where in the world is your Sox cap right now?
That's good. That's a good bit right there.
Yeah.
And don't just show us, but show us, like, where it is, and then maybe that even expands to when you got it. Why you got that particular White Sox cap. Because there are a lot of people who love the 83 red, white, and blue White Sox stuff. There are some people who are partial to the cursive C. They like that. I like to flip. I have found that I like all of the caps that have Sox spelled vertically. Those are the caps that I like.
Okay.
Instead of horizontally.
No, because it looks better.
Yeah, I've always felt like it centers the cap, kind of.
Also, it looks elongated when it's horizontal. Like, it looks like it's too stretched out.
Yeah.
Like, too wide.
I'm glad that you're now, like, become my fashion guru on this and that you're explaining why I feel that way. Because I've always felt that way. I've never really liked the...
Yeah, it looks too wide. I think that's what it is. It's not aesthetically pleasing, really. I mean, again, if that's your cap, I'm sorry. but the vertical one... It looks a little cleaner.
It's a cleaner logo.
Because
usually, like, the best caps, like, you know, the Cubs C, like, that's a solid cap. The Cleveland C, that's a solid, because, boom, here it is, like, right there for you. The Boston B, like, all of those things. And the vertical Sox stuff actually, I think, fits into that mold a lot better.
Yeah. It's also an identifier. When you think of the Sox and their caps, you don't think of... the horizontal one. You go immediately to the other.
You're 100% right.
That is usually the case.
I'm learning this. I am learning this. You wrote a bunch of stuff this month. You have three great pieces that are up on fangraphs.com right now. The latest one is the underappreciated legacy of Larry Doby. In the week where we celebrate Jackie Robinson, what do baseball fans need to know about Larry Doby and his relationship with Cleveland?
So Larry Doby wasn't brought into the league months and months and months after Jackie, you know, it was just weeks. And I feel like what people don't pay attention to is, so the AL and the NL were separate. So you have Jackie, but then you have Larry who comes in. And someone pointed out in the comments of my piece today, and I was like, oh, go you, that I mentioned that Bill Veeck paid for Dobie. That is a big difference in Dobie coming over and Jackie coming over. And then Dobie was the first player to make the jump from the Negro Leagues to the majors. And of course, around that time, you know, everyone's like, oh, we picked him because he's a good Negro. You know, he represents, you know, he's calm. He's not a disruptor, I guess is the word. But Dobie went through a lot. He expressed how lonely he was, how when he would slide into base, he would get spit on. And he represented sort of equality in economics in the city of Cleveland. At that time, there was a law on like trying to be passed to get a commission together so that post-World War II, Black people could get work, because you got in that area, you got the steel mills and everything. And so obviously you want to move out of military work into, you know, civilian jobs. And Larry Dobie coming in as a Black man joining the Cleveland Indians represented something for the economic struggle there. And there's just so much about him. He meant a lot to Cleveland, but I think he should mean more to baseball than he does right now. I don't think we talk about him enough. I think Jackie gets a lot. With regard to Jackie Robinson Day, I do think Major League Baseball could stop congratulating itself when it comes to that and maybe give some of the other players a voice. You know, like you got your Adam Jones, who I think he would totally be great. And then when it comes to Dobie, do something for him too. It's important that we not just focus on one lane of history. There's so much there. And Larry Dobie, in his own way, created a path that Jackie couldn't, straight from the Negro Leagues. Look who came after him, right? Satchel came in. And it's...
Old Satchel.
Old. What's funny about Satchel is that no one actually knew how old he was. They just knew he was old, right? Satchel was the OG hustler. Like... You didn't know how old he was. You just knew he could play. That's it. And yeah, Dobie special. And there's a quote that I put in there, and I put it at the end on purpose. It's funny because I wrote that article from the bottom up, not the other way. I found that quote first, and I'm like, wow, that hits so hard. He died wanting to be remembered. I think that's the smallest thing we could do. It's the smallest thing we could do is say, hey, this guy from Paterson, New Jersey, who his story is great. Effa Manley was the owner of his team. Come on. Like, we got multiple veins of baseball history right here. And it's not just Black history. It's baseball history. It's American history. This is, to me, what the game is about. Like, not just talking about today and the fun, you know, players, but getting into where we came from.
I really appreciate you for doing the Dobie piece. I really do. And you're right. I mean, you look at his World Series history.
Yeah.
And that's where he gets to be first.
Yep. Sure does.
You know, he gets there before Jackie. He gets to be first.
You'd be surprised a number of people who tweeted me and was like, I just assumed it was Jackie.
Of course. I mean, because I have a – it's – God, I wish I had another hour with you, because I've always felt that – Jackie Robinson Day, I've always felt that it should be a designated player, and that player to wear 42.
Oh, that would be great.
And that player, whoever that player is, like, honestly, I don't know how.
Do you pick a player per team, or you pick a player?
Player per
period.
Team.
Okay.
And for me, like, this year, I'm looking at the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo wears 42 this year.
Okay.
Because of what he's doing outside. Okay. Of baseball.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it becomes an honor, because I feel like if everyone's wearing it, it feels a little less special.
No, I agree.
But if you put it on one person, then you kind of, then that person for that week leading up to it, once the team makes the announcements, then that person can relate and start talking about and learning about.
If you steal his idea, pay him.
Yeah, please pay this man for the idea. But I think it'd be great to do campaigns in every city of Major League Baseball. This year's Jackie Robinson jersey recipient is Anthony Rizzo for bang, 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 bang. And then Anthony learns about Jackie Robinson and shares it. And because it's him sharing it, then other fans will share that story. It's an idea.
It's not a bad one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a good one. I mean, I had people saying, well, maybe the AL should wear Dobie. And I was like, that's not a terrible idea either.
I think it's a great one. You have a lot of phenomenal ideas. You should check out Shakia's work. It's really fantastic. Follow her on Twitter at CurlyFro. Her stuff on Fangraphs right now is amazing. Please support it. This is, even though you're from Cleveland, you're 17 years here in Chicago, and to see someone that's starting from like nothing in this business and reaching what you're doing, you should be really proud of what you're doing, because you're actually blazing a trail as well.
Thank you.
This segment was brought to you by Tomorrow Sleep, a new Tomorrow hybrid mattress crafted by the experts at Serta Simmons. Visit gettomorrowsleep.com. Use code TRAFFIC3 for $200 off when you spend $500 or more. Talk a little football with Chris Emma next here on The Score.
In the lower half of the third frame, with two away and nobody on, Indian Dobie rockets Sane's high, fast pitch for a trip to Mars. A lethal wallop more than 400 feet into the right field cloud. Dobie's round trip is the first home run of the series.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.